Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about two, to blow your one. Mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Thus saith the Lord. Bible thump alert, Bible thump alert. All God-hating secularists are hereby warned. I'm about to quote the Bible. The book our founders quoted more often than any other single source, the book upon which Blackstone constructed his dissertation on law, the book everyone agrees is the greatest example of literature in all the world, a book that is proven by fulfilled prophecy, making the near misses of Nostradamus and the Aztec calendar and so on look like mere wannabes but never will be, so here goes. Hosea 8 verse 4, quote, "They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off," end quote. And here's another one, Isaiah 33, verse 22, quote, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us," end quote. Happy 4th of July, my dear friends. I trust you enjoyed your celebration of our independence. Let's talk about the Declaration of Independence, shall we? 236 years ago, 57 men, all representing their respective colonies, signed a document in which they declared independence from Great Britain. The document is headed, quote, "In Congress, July 4, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America," end quote. By the way, I am familiar with the various permutations of this declaration that preceded the final draft, and these began as early as June 7. This is the first time that the colonies were identified as the United States of America. Of course, the word states had been used for the colonies, and the concept of the colonies being united was certainly not new, but the formal title that we use today to identify our nation, the United States of America, had never been used and was introduced here in the Declaration of Independence. Consider the significance of this and of the Declaration in general. This declaration formed the foundation upon which was raised this great nation under God, indivisible, with justice and liberty for all. The first item of interest to us is the fact that this declaration was not a declaration of war. It was then what it is now called, a declaration of independence. Of course, the men pledging their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor were fully aware that this would necessarily lead to open war with Great Britain. The colonies were already under assault by the King of Britain. The King had already declared virtual war on the colonies, and this the framers understood full well. The second item of even greater importance to us and interest to us is this. The Declaration of Independence is the founding document of the United States of America. Some suggest, imply, insinuate, and a few even say as much, that the Declaration is something like an auxiliary document. The idea being that it's somehow secondary. It's seen as sort of perhaps a temporary measure used to justify our war with Britain and then to be forgotten or set aside. The idea runs along the lines that the United States of America actually began with the Constitution. Now, some have attempted to suggest, in other words, that the first official document of the United States was in fact the Constitution, and the Declaration is considered a sort of preliminary action of the Continental Congress representing the 13 original colonies of Great Britain, but nothing could be further from the truth. My friends, you need to understand that the Declaration of Independence is the founding document of the United States of America. This point must be taken or nothing else matters. So, let's fix this truth in your mind. The Declaration of Independence actually legally created this thing we call the United States of America. It didn't exist before then and commenced its existence at the time this declaration was ratified. The Declaration of Independence is the official charter of the United States of America. Back in the day, if someone wanted to establish a colony, they were obliged to secure a charter from the King of Great Britain. They were required to make a formal application for a charter, and if the king approved, then he would grant to them a charter authorizing, from the authority of his throne, the formation of a new colony. Well, my friends, in the Declaration of Independence, the representatives of the 13 colonies did not combine together to present a request to the King of Britain for authorization to form the United States of America. They appealed to a higher power, a power they often alluded to as the supreme judge of the universe. They appealed to the King of Kings. They appealed to the laws of nature and of nature's God. Quote, "When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them," end quote. As in the first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, this is a very important point. These men banded together and appealed to the King of Kings for their charter, and by faith accepted their responsibility to act against tyranny. The Declaration is not a mere statement of grievances against the tyranny of then Britain's king. It served as the charter that created the United States of America, and they assumed the authority to create this new government upon the self-evident truth of the truth that God has entitled every man to certain unalienable rights. Or in other words, they appeal to the throne of the Almighty to justify their charter. And what did they mean when they declared their authority came from the laws of nature and of nature's God? Well, they were saying that general laws observable in nature supported the view that men had a natural right to be free and to act in accord with their own interests, and that, however, these laws of nature had an author, and the author of the laws of nature was none other than nature's God, or, as is made very plain later on, in fact, in the next paragraph, they were talking about the Creator. So when they appealed to the laws of nature and of nature's God, they were appealing to those laws discernible from nature and elucidated for us by the God who designed nature in Scripture. Or in other words, they appealed not to the laws of nature alone, nor to the laws of God revealed in nature alone. No, the laws of nature and of nature's God, or in other words, the laws of the Creator, whose laws are manifested to us by His design in His creation and articulated to us by special revelation in the Scripture. You know, that Bible, the book they quoted more often than any other source, all of this is made very clear in the second paragraph. Quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness," end quote. The Declaration of Independence is the document that legally formed, created, brought into being the United States of America. And the authority supporting this act was none other than the throne of the Almighty. God Himself, and not just any God, but the Creator. And in the historical context of the Declaration, the Creator was universally understood to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Furthermore, the founding principle of this new government was the self-evident truths that, quote, "all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." The concept was that every man possessed the imago Dei, and that is the image of God, and every man stood among men as an equal in that regard. Being created equal, they each and every one share equally in the certain unalienable rights that are discernible in nature and in the revelation of nature's God. I'm going to take a short break and come back and help you appreciate even more deeply, I hope, the significance of the Declaration of Independence. I'm going to stimulate the gray matter with explosive insights into the real meaning of the Declaration. And I'm telling you, it's going to blow your mind. I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights-on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment. Pastor Scheidbach is Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Keep the lights burning. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make a donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, host of The Brain Massage Show. I trust you enjoyed celebrating Independence Day, and now I want to meet you. The founders identified their grievances against the King of Britain, and our government is guilty of committing most of the same offenses against us. They used to think God ruled men through government. Well, America was founded on the idea that God created every man equal, with unalienable rights, and that he rules man directly. That men, in turn, create governments to serve them in securing their rights against usurpers and tyrants, like Obama. Please join me Sunday night at 6 p.m. I'll show proof of Obama's effrontery to our rights and what we must do about it. Then we'll get a chance to meet and visit with finger food, snacks, coffee, soda, and so on. The folks serving you will be dressed in full period costumes representing many of our founders. It'll be fun. But more importantly, I want you to stand with me in reaffirming our commitment to the Declaration of Independence, 1310 West Bettervia Road in Santa Maria, 3.5 miles west from the Bettervia exit off the 101 freeway. Look for the lighthouse, call 1-888-770-8000 and let me know that you'll be there.
Like Paul Revere's lantern lighter, Pastor Scheidbach is lighting the lamps in the Belfry Arch, alerting all Americans that the commies are coming. The commies are coming. Help us spread the message. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com or write us at Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, host of The Brain Massage Show. I trust you enjoyed celebrating Independence Day, and now I want to meet you. The founders identified their grievances against the King of Britain, and our government is guilty of committing most of the same offenses against us. They used to think God ruled men through government. Well, America was founded on the idea that God created every man equal, with unalienable rights, and that he rules man directly. That men, in turn, create governments to serve them in securing their rights against usurpers and tyrants, like Obama. Please join me Sunday night at 6 p.m. I'll show proof of Obama's effrontery to our rights and what we must do about it. Then we'll get a chance to meet and visit with finger food, snacks, coffee, soda, and so on. The folks serving you will be dressed in full period costumes representing many of our founders. It'll be fun. But more importantly, I want you to stand with me in reaffirming our commitment to the Declaration of Independence, 1310 West Bettervia Road in Santa Maria, 3.5 miles west from the Bettervia exit off the 101 freeway. Look for the lighthouse, call 1-888-770-8000 and let me know that you'll be there.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. My friends, we must renew our pledge to the Declaration of Independence. In the last segment, I labored to make it clear that the Declaration is not a mere auxiliary document, a temporary measure that served to carry us forward to the actual creation of the United States of America, but is in fact the charter that created the nation upon the authority of the laws of nature and of nature's God. Now, let me tell you where we're going to go with this. The thesis of this show is a simple one. The precepts and principles of the Charter of the United States, which is the Declaration of Independence, being sound then and found sound today, require us to take a close look at the tyrannical regime that compels us today to renew the pledge of our founders who, with firm reliance upon the protection of divine providence, pledged to each other their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. The founders appealed to the entitlement bequeathed to all mankind by the laws of nature and of nature's God, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. To appreciate the significance of this declaration, you need to know that at that time in history, this concept contradicted the then prevailing notion called the divine right of kings. The divine right of kings stipulated that God ordained kings, raised them up, and gave to them virtual, unlimited power over the lives of their subjects. It was supported by certain isolated texts of scripture, And here are a few examples. Proverbs 16:10, quote, a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment, end quote. Or 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, end quote. But especially Romans 13:1-6 was used. And that's where we read, quote, all power is ordained of God. And it goes on to stipulate that there is no power but of God. Well, the Roman Catholic Church and virtually every Protestant church enslaved the conscience of Christians to subservient acquiescence to tyrants with the notion that these verses, that this verse especially, Romans 13, means they have no recourse against tyrannical rulers, but must submit to them as God's agents and ministers. And of course, this is absurd on the face of it. The passage teaches that God ordained the power, but does not say or mean that he approves or personally instituted or ordains the individuals who hold the power. Now, there's much proof of this throughout Scripture, but Hosea 8 verse 4 settles the question for everyone who accepts the Bible as an authority in such matters. Thus saith the Lord, quote, they have set up kings, but not by me, end quote. So it's possible for men to appoint a person to governmental power who is appointed against and contrary to the will of God. In fact, a study of the Bible on the subject of kings and kingdoms reveals that it was never God's intent that any king but God himself should rule men. God was to be the king and all mankind his subjects. Consider a few of many verses on the subject. Here's Isaiah 33, verse 22. Quote, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us, end quote. Now here the word king is rendered in the lower case, by the way. And this becomes technical. I won't drag you into a technical discussion of that. Melechanu, as opposed to Melech. But anyway, it's because it translates the word that means the king of us or our king. And so it's rendered in lower case. In most other verses, it's rendered with the capital K, as the idea of him being the overall king or king above all kings. Well, the point here is that he is not only capital K king, he is also our lowercase king. Okay? He's king and king. Yeah. He's king and he's king. Psalm 10 verse 16, the Lord is king forever and ever. Psalm 24, 8, who is this king of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the king of glory. Psalm 29, 10, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Psalm 47, 2, for the Lord most high is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. Psalm 89, 18, for the Lord is our defense and the Holy One of Israel is our king. Lowercase. This declares that the Son of God and heir of all things is our king. Read Psalm 2, 90, Psalm number 98, verse 6. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the king. And the point is this. God is king, and he is also our king. God did not intend for us to have a king over us other than him. The first rebellion against God as king was led by Nimrod, who was the first to establish a kingdom among men. Genesis 10 and 11 will inform you of all that. When God divided the language and separated them all over the earth, all the Gentiles, and that word means nations, by the way, followed Nimrod's example and established kingdoms ruled by kings, some good, some bad. Well, then God moved to call out a special people who would be identified as his people. And when God was ready to establish them as a nation, he used Moses to lead them out of Egypt and he gave them his laws. Now, yeah, listen up, follow along. Moses prophesied the day would come when God's own people would turn away from him and desire to have a king like the nations, or that is, like the Gentiles. Deuteronomy 17, 14 to 20 is where you find what is called the law of kings. And one of the commandments for kings was that they would be required to write out a copy of the law and were obliged to rule by the law of God. Now, Moses' prophecy was fulfilled in 1 Samuel 8, 5 to 20. And when you read that, you're going to find out that God did not want them to appoint a human king over them and that he considered it a step away from him, a rejection of him, and a turning to the ways of the world or the ways of the Gentiles. He explained it to Samuel that the people were not rejecting Samuel, but they were rejecting God as their king and choosing to have a mere human king in his place. Nevertheless, this king was to be appointed according to the law of God among God's people. And he was to acknowledge God as King of Kings and Supreme Lord of all the earth. And he was to guide the nation according to the laws of God. Now, these kings were to be keepers of the law, enforcers of justice, as defined by the law of God, and not as defined by the whims of men. But when the people turned their affection to the worship of Mammon, you're familiar with that term, refers to money in a euphemistic way, the silver and gold, the coin of the realm. They desired kings who would give them what they worshipped, mammon, or money. And since, as Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon, when his people turned to the worship of mammon, they necessarily turned their hearts away from him and began appointing kings over them who served mammon and not God. This, of course, led to their ruin. Are you listening? Hence, God rebuked his people when they set up kings, but not by him. And remember, Hosea 8 verse 4, key verse here. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Now listen, of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. They turned to the worship of mammon, and then began appointing kings who would serve the economy, you know. So you see, this appeal to the laws of nature, of nature's God, was a direct repudiation of the false doctrine called the divine right of kings. Furthermore, the framers went on to argue that governments were subordinated to the consent of the governed. Think about that. Organized for the purpose and charged with the duty to secure these rights among men. And finally, that when government no longer serves this end, it is the right, it is the duty of the people to abolish it and institute a new government that, quote, to them shall seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness, end quote. And they consider this to be a divine right. You know, it's difficult in our day to appreciate the earth-shaking significance of all this. Under the delusion of the divine right of kings error, governments held the place of God in the practical daily lives of the people. The idea was that God ruled men through governments. And what the founders did is they turned this upside down. They inverted the hierarchy. They acknowledged God over all. They left that in place, of course. But immediately under God, in place of government, they put man as an equal among them, among other men, under God. And then they said these equals who share in common the imagio Dei, that is the image of God, had the divinely given right as stewards under God and by God given dominion over the earth, according to Scripture, to organize governments for the purpose of securing and protecting these rights among themselves from usurpers such as Nimrods. All the little Nimrods out there who want to rule over men. Folks, this is huge. And this shook the then known world, and the reverberations continue today, rocking the boats of little Nimrods who imagine themselves above their subjects, vainly supposing either that they have been appointed by God to rule men according to their own whim and fancy, or like the unjust judge in the Bible who said, I regard neither God nor men, you know, who imagine themselves to be God. This says men were given the right to throw off these imposters, to cast them down from their high horse, and to see them as nothing but equals to the least of us in the matter of unalienable rights to be respected, secured, and protected for all. I hope you appreciate more fully the significance of the Declaration of Independence. My friend, it is the founding document of the United States of America. It is the legal charter creating the United States of America on the authority of the laws of nature and of nature's God, hence under God. And this God is identified as the Creator, and the historical context refers to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This document declared all men equals before God. It repudiated the concept of the divine right of kings, and it inverted the medieval hierarchy, which was God, government, man, and then man as subjects to government. And it turned it around and made it God, man, and then government, and made government subject to man. And they went so far as to state right out loud in front of God and everybody that when government becomes, quote, becomes destructive of these ends, and that is to secure the unalienable rights of the people granted to them by God, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, end quote. All right, now next, the Declaration of Independence proceeds to show why they were compelled to exercise this right and to separate from Britain and establish a new government. And after offering the necessary caveat that prudence dictates, namely, the governments ought not to be lightly dismissed for, quote, light and transient causes, end quote, but that separation and reformation should be sought only when the usurpations of the people's rights are become grievous and there is no other appropriate recourse to be taken. The founders then delineated their causes for separation and concluded by casting their hopes upon their reliance upon divine providence. Now, folks, I'm going to preach a message this coming Sunday night at 6 p.m. at the Lighthouse, in which I'm going to go over the 28 grievances stipulated against the King of Britain and offer commentary showing how our government is today chargeable for almost all of the same offenses. Obama is behaving in a manner so strikingly like the King of Britain at the time of the revolution, whose abuses provoked the writing of the Declaration of Independence, that I say we God-fearing patriots must revisit the Declaration and renew our pledge to its essential principles. I call on all God-fearing patriots hearing me to attend Sunday night at 6 p.m. and listen very carefully and attentively as I show proof that Obama and his administration and his ilk are usurping a position of authority over our lives that is not their prerogative to assume and is in violation of this founding document, the Declaration of Independence, and of its Constitution. Now listen, if these things go unanswered, he will succeed to separate our nation from its charter, which is the only support sufficient to uphold our Constitution, which in turn is the only safeguard we have for our Bill of Rights. Friend, we stand before God's throne, guilty of offenses that will provoke him to pull our charter. I'm telling you, folks, if we don't renew our pledge to the charter, the Declaration, we're going to lose our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And I beseech you to attend Sunday night, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to be shocked when you see it all brought out and put together. Obama and company is without question the greatest threat to our liberty in our lifetime. Included in my rights as a free man in America is the right to assemble and petition government for redress of grievances. Well, we're going to be exercising that right Sunday night, and I don't want to hear about a bunch of lame excuses for not being there. Come on, patriots, stand up for the Declaration, the Constitution, our bill, and our rights as Americans. Sunday night, Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Betteravia Road in Santa Maria. Only about 3.5 miles west off the Betteravia exit from the 101 freeway. You'll see it on the left as you're headed west, just past Skyway and Blossom, where they connect to Betteravia. The service begins at 6 p.m. If you can't get there at 6, come on when you can get there. It's fine. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. And now you let me know if you see that they are on. Say, call me at 1-888-770-8000 and say lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. In fact, call 888-770-8000, 888-770-8000, and let me know you're going to be there. Sunday night, 6 p.m., 1310 West Betteravia Road, Santa Maria, California. What will it be today? Lights on or lights off? By the way, we're going to have some refreshments available for all my listeners who show up Sunday night after the service. We're going to meet together in our fellowship hall with some finger food, juice, coffee, some soda, and stuff like that. We can chat a while. You'll also see some folks in costume milling about, Benjamin Franklin, Patrick Henry, and some of the others, and some props and so on. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's this Sunday night at 6 p.m., 1310 West Betteravia Road in Santa Maria. Only about 3.5 miles west off the Betteravia exit from the 101 freeway. Call 888-770-8000. Let me know you're coming and or leave a message for me. And say lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. If you want to contact me from outside the United States, you may go to our website, use thebrainmassageshow.com, thebrainmassageshow.com, all one word, lowercase, and click on the contact us button. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain with stimulating insights.
Church like walking on a treadmill. You keep going and going, getting nowhere. Has your faith made the difference you're looking for? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, a lighthouse for the family. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.